Welcome to another WaitingForNextYear.com podcast. Casual Friday. My internet is fixed. I don't think we'll have to abort this one. How's it going, Denny?
It's going pretty well. I was just telling you about my final soccer league game. I missed a shot that would have tied us up and gotten us our only non-loss of the season. But such is life. And so now I'm home, sulking in my own self-pity.
So, all in all, it was a good time. Are you going to play again maybe sometime in the future?
Yeah, there's a winter league, but with my wife being due in like 6 weeks with our first kid, I don't think that playing in the winter is good. So I think we're going to do the spring. We're going to aim for the spring at least.
Yeah, you got to wait for the second kid, because I started playing some soccer sometime when, let's see, after the first kid, before she was pregnant with the second kid, and then she was overdue by, Jen was overdue by a couple of days for our second son, and I played on what should have been the due date.
Oh.
Because we knew it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, the winter time, the league would be, it would be, you know, starting a few weeks after the baby's born, but I don't think I want to try to navigate early infancy sort of sleep deprivation and try to go and do things that require motor skills and coordination.
Yeah, well, you know, everything they say about that second kid is 100% true. You just, it's whatever. Second pregnancy? Yeah, this kid's not coming. I'm going to play soccer. So.
Well, this is the first one for us, so I'm terrified of everything.
As you should be. The fun part is being terrified of everything. So last time in the aborted podcast, we did talk about your marathon. I certainly don't want to go beat for beat back through it, but because we already talked about it. But just very quickly, let's do it quickly just so that we don't leave people hanging. So you ran a successful marathon.
I ran a successful marathon up in New York City. It would have been about a week and a half ago. It was November 2nd or 3rd. I think it was the 3rd. So I went and ran New York. My training did not go particularly well out of my own sheer laziness. And so I had run a long run of 10 miles in August. Had run a bunch of 8 mile long runs leading up to the race. Wasn't so sure how I was going to do. I figured I'd be somewhere between 4 and 5 hours, which is a pretty big window, but, realistically I didn't expect much of myself. And I ran a couple minutes under 4 hours. I ran really, really well. And felt really good and had a really good time. I think we've talked before about my having run New York previously and didn't have a great experience. And so this time I ran it like 25 minutes slower than I did the first time, but.
And I've been thinking a lot about this because we've already talked about this. And ever since we talked last time, we talked very specifically about how mellow and like how much fun you had the entire weekend. I think just your entire weekend set the tone, and it was just because you said you were like hanging with new friends and eating crappy food and like just really enjoying the hell out of the weekend. And then, yeah, I'll run a marathon as well.
Yeah. So I traveled on my own, my wife being as pregnant as she was at the time and, still is. She thought that, making a trip up to New York might not be the best idea for her. So I just took the Amtrak up, which I've done before. And, I spent a Friday afternoon just walking around Manhattan. I walked on like the High Line, which if anybody goes to Manhattan and is in like the Chelsea district, kind of the lower, west side, it's a great, great park to go check out. Kind of did that and then stayed with friends and, met a couple of new people and, generally just had a good time. Went out to the bar on Friday and ate absolute garbage, you know, like grilled cheese or cheese steak and pizza, and like just didn't let myself get worked up about the race, and it turned out well. So I it was very I don't want to say like vindicating or anything like that, because I don't think that I was worked up enough about trying to go back to New York and run it well. But it was very reassuring nice, I guess. You know, it was just going and having fun and just trying to have fun. It was such a different experience compared to running in California like I did earlier this year. There were so many people that it just was, it was pretty cool. So it was, yeah, I had a really good time, and I feel like that kind of, I'm going to be delayed. You know, I'm not going to be running long races for a while with a kid coming. So I'm leaving on a really good note, leaving running for, you know, taking a vacation from it, I guess, for a while, leaving on a good note, which is great.
Yeah, always good to have a nice send off. And that's part of the reason why I signed up for one more race after my miserable showing at the Rock and Roll Half Marathon. And I wanted at least something decent from the season so that I would feel like running again next season.
Yeah, I mean, you had said that it went quite well. It wasn't quite like your best time overall, but it was a very good experience, right?
Yeah, first of all, the towpath is really, really flat. It's great. By the time I was finished, my GPS watch told me it was like just over 100 feet of total elevation, which is like nothing in terms of hills. I think the Rock and Roll Half Marathon was 450, which was just astonishingly difficult. But yeah, and the towpath was great. The weather was perfect. I went out there just looking to have a really good time. I gave my son a big high five on my way into the finish line, and we got a little applause, and
nice.
I just loved it. It was so much fun. The whole thing was great. And, I wasn't even all that sore, you know, and so all went well. And, I can't wait for, you know, next season. I'm in the pool already, which is, the pool is a weird thing, man. It's isolating to swim laps, but it's also very relaxing. I don't know. I find it's a very different way to start your day, and I really enjoy that kind of turn of season where I stop running every day and I'm living in my headphones to living in the pool without anything but like my own thoughts and the sound, you know, and water in your ears.
Yeah, I spent I haven't swam much at all. I'm not good at it at all. I haven't gotten to the point where I get enough of a rhythm and enough, I guess, cardiovascular strength to like go for a long time and actually, you know, hit a rhythm, start doing turns on the walls and things like that. Like I would go and
I'm so bad at kick turns, by the way.
That's okay. I mean, you can do them. But I spent a summer where I had gained a bunch of weight, and I thought, all right, I'm going to kind of get my shit together and start swimming in the morning and running in the evening. And I did it, but I was swimming like across the short length of like a 25 meter pool, you know, and I would have to stop and hold onto the side for a while. And this was only like maybe 5 years ago, 4 years ago, something like that. Like I cannot swim well at all. And I think that, like you were saying, you know, that it's not isolating, but it's, I think it's really rhythmic, and it's really kind of, different in a, you know, to a certain degree when compared to running. I don't know. I haven't ever been able to really grab onto it, and I'd like to. It's good that you're kind of transitioning, I guess.
Well, and the other fun thing is that, I wasn't able to do much swimming last year because, you know, I had, the second kid, Will. And, so I was riding my bike in my basement and hitting the treadmill, which was just really torturous. I didn't like that at all. There's something about leaving my house, you know, whether I'm running down my driveway and out into the street or driving to the pool, it's a little more regimented or something, but like going into my basement, turning on the TV and riding the exercise bike doesn't really feel like exercise. It's not like enough work or something. And so I'm never in the right headspace to do it. So I missed the pool last year. And so it's nice to be back in it because I think it was one of the really big things that got me as fast as I was the 1 year, because it does regiment your breathing. It does give you that, all that cardiovascular, training.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I look at people who do triathlons and I sometimes think, man, you know, I would really like to do that. And other times I think like swimming is just awful. And, right.
I've never heard anybody say, yeah, you know, I'm really good at swimming. It's that run that gives me trouble. It's always like runners who like loathe swimming.
I have a neighbor who he grew up in California and he talks about going and he used to do like 6 mile open water swims in the ocean.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, I don't know why I did it, but I would go and do it. And so he does triathlons now and I'm not sure which of the portions of it he doesn't, you know, which if there's one that he doesn't like quite the best, but
I'm not sure that people really understand how far 6 mile open water swim is.
No, it's ridiculous. And you know, now he's like, I really don't know why I did it because it's just boring. And you know, it's like he, you know, even out in like Southern California, you know, sometimes it's just really gray and it's hard to tell the horizon from the water. And it, but I don't know. He said he did that. And I was just like, wow, you know, that's to me, that's amazing.
Oh, no, that's totally impressive. Cause I mean, I think it takes me about half hour, 35, 40 minutes probably to do a mile. So to do 6 miles, I'm sure in open water too with waves running over your face and stuff, it's a totally different ball game.
Yeah. I can't even manage, you know, I can't even imagine. It's like 50 meters at a time. So
yeah,
I can't fathom doing that.
So, I noticed on your Facebook page that you'd finished unearthing the brick wall. Did you have to do anything to kind of, how do you finalize the, hey, I unearthed the brick wall?
Well, this was a brick wall directly behind plaster. So there was like the backing plaster directly on it. So to get to it, I took like a masonry chisel and a hammer, spent over the course of 2 or 3 weekends, I spent about 16 hours just tapping away. And then you take a wire brush to it to clean it off a little bit, sponge it down a few times. And then there was a big spot that, was like construction adhesive, like liquid nails or something. So it took me another couple weeks to get that off of there. And I ended up just using a chisel and a hammer again. And then you kind of sponge it down and I put on like a concrete sealant so that it's not shedding dust all the time. Because like in the couple weeks in between where, I wasn't sure if I had time to actually seal up the wall, we were staying in the room and it was just, you know, perpetually shedding dust as brick is kind of prone to do. So I just put like a concrete sealant on it and that seems to be good. So now I just have to put like the floorboard and the trim back on and then, like a shoe molding. And then I have to put some molding around the corners because like the corners where the plaster used to be is, not great looking, but, yeah, it's mostly just like brushing it down with a wire brush after you get the majority of the plaster off, but it was probably like 800 pounds worth of plaster. It's like a 9x10 wall and, about an inch thick of plaster.
When it's especially cool because it's not like perfect looking brick wall. It looks kind of, almost like I don't know what to say. I was going to say like designer, but that's the wrong word.
A little bit distressed, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, it's a 90-year-old house and a lot of times the interior brick, they didn't quite lay. They didn't use the best bricks and they didn't use, at least my understanding, they didn't use the best bricks and they didn't put super regular patterns. They did a lot of like, bricks that are, I forget the term for them, but they'll turn them kind of next to each other so that some of the bricks go into the wall to add like structural integrity. So there's no real patterning to the wall on the interior wall. There's in some of the spaces of like the, mortar is, really big. And so like, it's really interesting, looking, you know, it's kind of beat up and it's not, I didn't expose it perfectly. There's still some little bits of plaster and like the backing plaster looks almost like concrete or mortar. So yeah, it looks kind of, it doesn't look perfect, which is fine. I kind of like that. So it took a long time. It took longer than it should, but I've been traveling on the weekends a lot. So that's finally done. I just have to get the floorboard back on.
Did it change the feel of like the insulation or whatever in the room?
Not that we noticed, but it was, you know, now it's cold and it was hot for a while. I haven't noticed any smells. That's one thing that I heard, that, you know, not having the plaster that seals up the wall, sometimes you can get smells that kind of transmit across the brick. But I haven't noticed anything like that coming from next door. So it seems to be fine. And I think now that the sealant's on, it should be fine.
Oh, so this is an interior wall. You share it with a neighbor?
Yeah. If it would have been an exterior wall, I don't think I would have exposed it.
Oh, okay.
Although the exterior walls, I'm pretty sure the plaster is straight on the brick as well. But I don't think that I wouldn't expose those, because that's just, that would be insulation that definitely would be lost.
Okay. Well, that's cool. And then you also tempted yourself. You went back down to the old antique place while you were in Ohio again.
Yeah, I did. Whenever I go back and visit my in-laws.
What are the people like down there?
At the antique market?
Yeah, because you said it's down in like the Ravenna area.
It's in Rootstown off of 76 at Ohio 44. It's called like the I-76 Antiques Market, and I love it. It's like the best place. There aren't a lot of people. It's not like it's an auction or anything. It's just people have booths. So you can just walk around and peruse, and I still haven't figured out whether the prices are negotiable or not. But they're all very fair. And so I'll just go and walk around, and sometimes it's cool. It's just kind of like walking through a museum where you just see a bunch of really old stuff. Lots of old, like clever kitchen items that are now kind of, obscure, but at the time were really interesting, you know, useful, and now they just seem to be kind of interesting. But I went through and I bought a trunk and I bought a barn window. So I love going there. Like every time I'm back, I'll go and spend it like 2 hours walking around that place. It's really sizable, and there's a lot of really cool stuff. So yeah, we had like you and I and Scott and John and Jacob all met up was it a week ago? Yeah. Yeah, like a week and a half ago, or a week ago, last weekend. Yeah. And so I left there, and went to the antique market.
And so you also got your first experience with melt. Was it an overhype, to the point where it didn't live up to it?
I haven't, you know, I just being, at a distance, I haven't, you know, I haven't really gathered a lot of the hype. I know that it's a place that people always talk very highly of, but, it was really good. I think that I probably ordered the wrong thing. What I ordered was good. It was like a mozzarella stick and meatball sandwich, but I should have gotten some a little less. I should have challenged myself instead of just grabbing whatever was like the easiest thing to order. But it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I don't know.
You could have pussied out and gotten a salad.
I could have, but I decided instead to order a grilled cheese and some bourbon drink with habanero marmalade in it.
Yeah, it was called what?
I don't remember. It was a really good drink though. I don't remember. I think it was maybe a November drink.
It was something with like throat.
Oh yeah, sore throat or a fiery throat. Throat punch. That's what it was. But yeah, I think that's really good. It was like bullet and lemon juice, I think, and habanero marmalade. And I thought it was really good. It wasn't too spicy or anything, but.
Well, thank goodness there were cartoons on so that Ben didn't learn any new words.
I don't think we were too bad.
No. No, it doesn't matter. I mean, he couldn't care less what you guys are saying.
Yeah, he was engrossed by the television.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, you know, such are, you know, when I had a weekend where my wife took the youngest to her sister's place, and so Ben and I were hanging all weekend, and so when Daddy and the three-year-old hang out, there's a little bit more TV than when Mommy hangs out, I think.
Sure.
And I don't even feel badly about it, because, you know, as long as I'm showing him stuff that I would watch, too. I mean, we watch movies and stuff, so.
Yeah.
I love taking him to the movies. He loves 3D movies.
3D. I still haven't been to a 3D movie. The only 3D TV I've ever seen is, and this is just more an indictment of how incredibly dorky I am, a crystallographer that I know at the University of Maryland has a 3D TV, and he'll do crystal structure renderings, and we'll look at it with 3D goggles on. And that's the only exposure I have to 3D TV, aside from, I think, back when I was maybe like 5, the Sandusky State Theater had, I want to say it was the Creature from the Black Lagoon in 3D, which was pretty cool too. Like they had like Godzilla and then a couple other like old horror movies in 3D on the, you know, on their screen. But I haven't watched 3D TV or modern 3D movies.
See, my first couple experiences were 3D. Jen and I, before kids, had a layover in Orlando. Or not a layover. We had extra time before our flight in Orlando, and we went to see Monsters vs. Aliens IMAX 3D. Movie was kind of mediocre, but a cartoon in 3D on the IMAX was absolutely incredible. And so that was kind of my first thing. And then I was kind of jonesing for the next one. And, of course, we don't have an IMAX screen in the Cleveland area. There's an IMAX projector at the Science Center, and I guess there's also an IMAX projector out at Crocker Park on the west side, but they don't have the corresponding, you know, 4-story tall convex screen.
How do they end up with a projector and not a screen? Is it just a matter of, like, space?
I think so. I'm not sure how it works exactly. I haven't been there because I've heard it was, like, not a real IMAX, so, and so then after that movie, was Avatar, and Avatar was so incredible in 3D that I was totally hooked. I was going to see every movie I could go see in 3D. I went and bought the 3D TV. So I've got a 70-inch LED 3D TV with the passive glasses. So the glasses don't need batteries in them and stuff.
Right. They're like cross polarized or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so
if you look at someone else in the room, like you can see one of their eyes, but not the other or something like that, right?
Well, they look pretty normal. Everybody, it's just like the same 3D glasses you'd wear at a theater.
Oh, okay.
You can see through them. And so I know it's like it's not practical and it's not even all that great at home, but you know, I probably buy 3 or 4 movies in 3D every year and like to watch them in 3D.
Yeah, I should definitely go and check it out. I get to the movie theater like maybe once a year.
Well, I bet you guys have an IMAX in the area.
There are a couple. The Smithsonian's have IMAX. There are at least 2 or 3 just along the National Mall, I think. And I thought about going to see, I think, like The Dark Knight Rises.
And that was not in 3D, but it was an IMAX.
It was an IMAX, but I still haven't been to see any of them.
There's something about watching a movie with a, you know, 4 or 5-story tall screen. It's just, it's a different experience. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there was an IMAX screen. I think it was at Cedar Point. But it's been so long since I've been there that I know that I used to go and watch things, but we didn't watch movies. We watched just like random like movies about people or like films about people climbing like mountains or some, or like penguins, you know, migrate, or penguins don't migrate, but like penguins sliding all over the place. But I'm pretty sure there was an IMAX theater.
It does appear that they have one.
Yeah.
And those are the kinds of films that they show at the Science Center too. This weekend, yeah. the boys' weekend, Ben and I went and watched a really bad thing about Titanic called Titanica, with the footage of the submarines going underwater and everything.
Yeah,
and so it was really awesome to, you know, when you're getting used to the screen, and then the content of the movie sucked though, so we ended up kind of walking out, and he was kind of tired of it.
So that it was more the, like, you know, the Science Center type movies that they would show at Cedar Point too.
Yeah,
which was still cool, but not like watching Batman cool.
No, but, and I didn't know they had one of those at Cedar Point.
Yeah, I used to go there a lot growing up at Sandusky, and then I didn't go there for a long time. So it's kind of, you grow up with it and you get very jaded very quickly.
Well, I guess over the holidays, the Science Center is also going to do Polar Express a couple times. Or
oh, that would be pretty cool.
I've never seen that movie, so I might do that.
I think I've heard good things. I'm sure that, like, Ben would like it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the, like, the animated one with Tom Hanks as the conductor.
Yeah, that it was a special kind of animation though. Like, I want to, the word stereoscope or something comes to mind, but that's not it.
Mm.
Anyway, I don't know where I'm going next.
That's okay.
I was talking about the Polar Express. I was talking about IMAX. 3D movies.
I'm gonna try to make a ham this weekend, which is not. I don't think it's gonna be difficult, but I'm trying that for the first time. So I think I'm gonna try it on the grill, and that's been like in the back of my head. I gotta figure out how I'm gonna do it. But I gotta do it on Sunday because we have an all day Saturday like childbirthing class that we're going to, because we've never had a kid before, and that's what you do, I guess, when you've never had a kid before. Just go to classes for a full Saturday.
Is it one of those breathing classes?
I don't know what it is, but I know that we do a tour of the whole facility. So it's at like the hospital that we've been going to, where we're going to do the, you know, where the baby's going to be born. And so we'll get kind of familiar with the, you know, whatever the newborn wing is and all that kind of stuff.
That's a great idea, by the way. Cause, you know, I think I've told you before, when it comes to races, I'm the kind of guy who will drive and see like where the starting line is or where I'm going to be parking, you know, before the day of the race. So it was the same with the hospital, man. I wanted to know, okay, well, this is the entrance I'm going to walk in. This is the hallway I have to walk down to get my wife to the delivery area. The dry run is so key.
Yeah, we've had, the last time we went, we had an experience with, you know, normally we go at like 10 in the morning, and this, you know, the doctor was available at like 11:15, and the entire parking garage was filled. And so I dropped my wife off and said, I'll meet you up there. And I spent 25 minutes driving down to a parking space. And so we've just, you know, whenever we're going and it's like, you know, for real, you know, go time, whatever, they have valet parking. So because of course they do. I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to pay for the valet so that we can get the hell out of the car and I'm not like freaking out.
If it was better weather, you could have done a city bike.
I'm not going to take her on a bike. I actually, I didn't do city bike when I was in New York, but we have the same bikes here. It's made by the same company, and it's called Capital Bike Share here. And, I could, but I'm not going to do that. We only have one bike, like one little key fob. So I'd have to like put her on the basket in front, like ET. I don't think that would work out.
I still can't figure out. I guess I heard initially when that thing came about, people in New York were kind of shitting on the idea.
Well, that happens all the time about anything ever that's new. because
I
like,
guess you're right.
No, I mean,
but I was like, what's the downside? Is it like taking up too much space?
They like, put them in like spaces that weren't used. Sometimes there's like one or two parking spots that, you know, are lost for a bike rack, but it just is different. Like when it rolled out here, it rolled out slowly. And there's one in Columbus that I think is going to do the same sort of thing where
it would have been so key to have that in Boston, especially with like last train at like, you know, Boston isn't like New York where the trains run till 4 a.m. or whatever.
Right.
And so if you missed that last train, you were facing a $20 or $25 cab ride. I totally yep. would have jumped on a bike.
I do that pretty often here. I'll ride a bike to like the hardware store, take like a tote bag with me and just, you know, fill it up and then just throw that on the little basket in the handlebars and ride home. But here when it rolled out, it was done, you know, bikes, they had the stations right near metro stops and that was almost it. And then they've been infilling and the network effect that comes into play as more and more get added. Now it's far more useful because you can do, you know, metro and get off at the metro stop and then do bike share the last maybe 8 blocks or 15 blocks of your, you know, commute. And, so as you add more and more of those in, it becomes more and more useful. But when they put it in Manhattan, they put it in like lower Manhattan, like Midtown down, and then like the northern parts of Brooklyn, like Williamsburg, Greenpoint. When they put it in there, they just put in, I don't even know how many stations, but they put them all in right away. And then they're going to expand to like, you know, probably up to the, up towards Central Park and then, you know, beyond, but they did like the high density, just dropped everything in right away, which is great. I didn't see many people riding around, but I also was, you know, walking on the High Line and kind of not near where people might be riding bikes.
When you're also, the weather was pretty good, but you're kind of post biking season, right?
Well, maybe. I mean, some people bike year round.
Right.
In New York, you wouldn't. I mean, here, you probably could because there's maybe a 6 week window where biking is really difficult because of the wind chill, but it doesn't get that cold here. And it was cool when I got back. It was probably 40 or 45 degrees the day that, the Monday after the race. And I rode the train back to Union Station and I took bike share home. And I was cold for a little bit, and then once I got going, I was fine. Because, you know, you're exerting a little bit of energy, and so you warm up pretty quickly. My hands were cold, though.
Yeah, well, that'll definitely happen. So what next, man?
I don't know. I don't know. We can have a short one. We can get back into it next week. It is kind of late now. It's like 11.
Last but not least, what are you watching? Anything good you're watching? Because you're usually good for a Netflix show, even if it's 10 years old.
No, we ran out. I think we might have hit the end of Netflix. we just watched Top of the Lake, which is like a BBC miniseries.
We started it, and we didn't get too far.
Yeah, before that, we watched Orange is the New Black, which was good.
Yeah, we liked that one, too.
That was like, you know, 13 episodes, maybe. Mm-hmm. But kind of have run out. I might pay for The Walking Dead. I don't know. I haven't figured out if I want to pay for that. When Mad Men's back, I'll pay for that and just buy it on iTunes. But I have.
The Walking Dead is kind of done.
That's what I've heard.
I don't care enough. I'm like 6 episodes behind now, but I don't care enough about the characters, and the zombie killing has kind of lost its
right
thing.
At first it was like, oh, this is on TV and this is crazy. And this, you know, I'll just watch, you know, if I turn the TV on, I watch whatever football game's on. Because just about every night of the week, there's a football game. So, I watched Mac football last night, like the Maction. Northern Illinois Ball State game. I watched that for a while. But We haven't been watching much the past like 2 or 3 weeks. I got like a couple of books and I've just been trying to read those even though I'm not doing a good job. So I bought a book about house renovation and about building materials. I'm becoming so old so fast. So I bought like a how to renovate your house book. I got a book about the chemistry of World War I, which is kind of interesting. I've been reading that. And then, you know, magazines show up periodically.
You can watch Empire State starring The Rock and Liam Hemsworth and Emma Roberts?
Two of those people just sound made up. Whenever they are. I think I know who Emma Roberts is, but that's probably not. I probably don't.
I actually don't. I know the name, but I don't think I could pick her out of a lineup. It's a name that you think she's in Harry Potter movies.
Yes.
Emma Watson is the Harry Potter chick.
Yeah. I don't know who that really is. I'm looking at, it's Julia Roberts' niece.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was looking at random Netflix stuff to see if I was missing anything that I'd watched recently.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a whole lot that's been added, but I haven't been looking. You know, I've had like be gone for a weekend and then come back and then gone for the weekend, and I just haven't been looking at that. And I also, knowing that there's a significant sleep depriving and you know, time depriving event coming up with a kid being born, I kind of want to leave things in the Netflix hopper if possible, you know, leave a strategic reserve there that can be tapped later. I mean, there's all sorts of like Nat Geo, documentaries and stuff. Like I almost never look at the documentaries that are on Netflix, but there's some interesting ones and like I would watch them, especially if, you know, it's like 3 a.m. and I have to, you know, feed a kid and then kind of just watch it in a haze. Like that sort of stuff is perfect for.
Yeah. I went through a whole phase with the kid thing. I went through a whole phase of music documentaries. Some of them were just concerts. Mm-hmm. Some of them were actual documentaries, but, I felt like those, even if they weren't great, were worth something if I respected the band that they were about. So.
Yeah. I had, there was a weekend this summer where my wife is out of town and there's something going on and I ended up having like a miserable, like hungover Saturday. And I was just sitting around. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to watch documentaries all day. And so I watched like, the one about the band. I watched one about the band. I watched the Rolling Stones at, I forget the name
of
it.
What's the one about the band? It's phenomenal. I can't remember the name.
It was about like the Pink. It wasn't the Scorsese one. It wasn't the Last Waltz.
The Last Waltz is what
it was about
of.
The making of. Was it from Pink House? It was about music from Big Pink. It was like a documentary about them making that. And so I watched that, and I watched like a documentary about like I just sat around all day and watched documentaries. And I was like, okay, I think I've satiated that part of my brain for the next, like, you know, year. But I did watch the documentary that was on, I think on National Geographic, The Science of Dogs. And that was kind of interesting.
Those are the days, by the way, that you won't miss them necessarily, but those are the days you'll never have again once the kid shows up. Like the whole day.
Oh, just sit around.
Watching an entire day of Netflix.
It was miserable. I mean, I was just sitting around, like, you know, sporadically groaning because, and just like feeling sorry for myself for like,
what am I doing? You know,
yeah. And I was just like, I could go run, you know, I have this race coming up, but
this is how I ended up sitting in judgment of video games.
I mean, it's fine that I won't be doing that anymore. Cause then I'll like 3 days later, I'll just be like looking at a list of shit that I need to do. I'm like, you know what? Like I had a lot of things that I could have done. I didn't do any of them. So I should, you know, I should maybe, do things more often and not put myself in that situation. But, you know, I learned about the band and I learned about, the guy who got stabbed by a Hell's Angel at a Rolling Stone show.
And, right. You know, the
I think it was at Altamonte.
Yeah, Altamont. Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched that.
Because the Hell's Angels were doing security.
Yes. Yeah, so I, you know, I watched, I had a day, but you know, I figured that I'll leave the Netflix, documentaries that's not quite the bottom of the barrel because there's a lot of stuff that's even sillier on Netflix, but, I'll kind of leave things in reserve.
Next time we should talk a little bit about music too, because I've been, I don't know if it's just me, but I think there's been a disproportionate amount of really great music come out in the last few months. I think music is resurging. It was down in my life for a little bit, but it might just be me personally, but I think there's some really crazy good stuff going on right now.
Okay.
So we'll have to touch on that next time as well.
Sure.
So I guess that's it. You don't have any other parting words? I've leaned on you a lot to run the show today.
That's okay. No, just don't ever count on me to make a goal to get a tie in the soccer season. I'm just here to let everybody down.
Well, you know, everybody was waiting for the one rocket that you promised to deliver.
Well, I shouldn't. Yeah, I'm fucking North Korea. I shouldn't promise that I can do it.
All right. Well, till next week. This has been the WaitingForNextYear.com podcast.
Waiting for next year.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on CannedAirPodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.